Whenever he does get an opportunity, you know there's gonna be like there's risk and all that. Like I told you before we recorded, like I was scared to do this, but you gotta take that. You don't know
Until
what,
you try.
yeah, until you try, you
There you
don't know how
go.
far it can go.
Exactly. That's with anything in life. Never ever limit yourself. Because just because, like, the biggest thing is you self-doubt. Self-doubt. But you won't know until you try. It's better if you try and fail than to never try at all.
Yeah, welcome everyone. This is Weekly with Fahad Khan, and I'm your host, Fahad Khan. And today is the very first episode of my new podcast. And today, for a special as my first guest, I have Jamal Baki. And we've known each other for a while now, like a decent while, almost a year or so.
Been a year or two.
Yeah, a year or two, so
Yeah.
not that bad. And Jamal is a recent DePaul University alum, and he is currently a student at University of Washington as a former graduate of Maine South High School. Jamal stays connected to his roots and his community. His activity is engaged in volunteer work for the local masjid, partaking in the youth podcast and Big Brother mentor program. So Jamal, thank you again for being here. I really appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Tell us more about yourself.
So as you said, yeah, I'm currently a grad student, living through COVID. So I'm still here in Chicago because my program's remote. So I'm in a 1 year program, inshallah, I graduate in
Inshallah.
August.
Oh,
So
nice.
yeah, and then full time work after that. And then on the
Nice.
side, I do some photography stuff too.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to talk about that. Like your photography, like what pushed you to become like to go to photography? Like you take amazing pictures. I've seen your work. It's amazing, alhamdulillah.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, alhamdulillah. It was kind of just like random. I kind of got a camera, just for fun, like sophomore year of college, like during my second year when I was at DePaul. And I started just taking pictures of my friends for fun. And then the part that I enjoyed a lot more was just like actually after you, like they taking the pictures, like whatever, but then like editing the pictures and messing with the colors and the angles, the cropping. So I was doing all that, like just my friends, just taking pictures of my friends. I started posting on Instagram for fun, and I ended up picking up a lot of traction. And then from there, the rest is history. Started doing events, and now a lot of people know me as like Jamal Shoots. That's been like a thing. So, but yeah, been trying to get back into it actually recently. When COVID first hit and all that, I kind of stepped away for a little bit. One, I wasn't trying to go outside and go to events, and two, people weren't really having events. So I kind of stepped away for a little bit, but I'm trying to get back into it now.
Yeah, that's nice. As we said, we've known each other for a couple of years, and like both of us, we both went to the same high school.
Mains
But
out.
yeah, Maine
Go Hawks.
South, all high school, two brown desis that are all white school with like it was like what a few African American kids. Like they're mixed, not like fully African American. Their parents were white, Caucasian and African American. So yeah, it was kind of weird. How
It wasn't
like
that diverse to the school, yeah.
it was decent for being in the like Maine's district. Like it was a good school in like its academics and athletics. Tell us like more about your experience there, because I know we've talked about this and we haven't gone more into depth with it.
Yeah, it's funny because I knew that you graduated from Maine South, and
Yeah,
then
we
you knew that
talked
I
about,
graduated from Maine South, and
yeah,
like
because we talked about it like a
yeah, we just
year
like briefly
ago.
talked about it. I think at like one of the CR classes at MCC or something like that, but
When
we
we were
never
at
ended up talking
Skokie,
about like we never ended up talking about like our experiences at Maine South, how it was like. And I know that like mashallah, you started up like an MSA at Maine South and you started doing all that. Like that's something that was not even close to being existing when I was there. I graduated in 2016. You graduated 2019, right?
2019. I
Yeah.
started, yeah, I started the year before you graduated, 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's when
So
I graduated
you were a freshman
from.
when I graduated then. When I was a senior, you were a freshman. That's funny, I never saw you around.
Yeah, that was weird because
Yeah.
for me it was just odd. Like it's like it was getting used to it because I spent my entire time at MEC from all the way from kindergarten all the way till graduation. So it was hard getting used to it. So I was really not into like looking to friends or like that. And like I made a decent amount of friends like at the end. But alhamdulillah, I still keep in touch with them and all of that. We still have good connections and all.
Yeah, what's it called? So when I was at Maine South, there were maybe two Muslims that I knew of in the school. And those two Muslims, I think one of them was Arab. He was a really good basketball player. I think you might know him because he was really good after I graduated. He ended up on the basketball team. I forgot his name, but he's really close with like the Powder Mouse people. And then the other kid was my best friend Wase, who graduated with me. But he was there for 3 years, but he moved, so he had the chance for the Maine East for his senior year. But like other than that, I didn't really know many Muslims at Maine South at all. And my entire friend group ended up being like kind of diverse still. They're mostly white, but it was like Serbian, Mongolian, and then your classic white. But I mean still like a lot of people have this connotation that like, oh, you had all white friends, and if you have all white friends, kind of trashy, this and that. I found some really cool kids at Maine South that I'm still friends with to this day, and we still hang out a lot. But yeah. And I didn't even know this whole MEC thing existed when I was at Maine South. I'm kind of the opposite of you, Fahad.
We're both at different of
I
the spectrum,
wasn't, yeah, when I was in high school, I wasn't really part of the MEC community. I didn't really know that many other brown people existed outside like that, like community-wise. And it wasn't until I started at DePaul and when I was an undergrad when I started realizing MEC, holy crap, and I started getting a lot more involved in my
Wait,
local community.
did you know about MEC from Omar Latif or someone
No.
else? No?
I'm trying to think of the first connection. I used to go to MEC, so I knew MEC existed. I went to Sunday school for like a really long time, but I never really did anything else. I started going to MEC a lot more. Like, the summer I graduated, so every year they have like a MCC Fun Fest. Is that the term? I started going to that. And that's how I met people. And then I used to play basketball in the gym. So I met a lot of people through that. I don't remember who the
Yeah,
first
like usually for the guys, it's always through like basketball
basketball.
and all. Yeah, because the gym is always kind of being used for like, oh, YM or something like that.
Well, what's it called? I think the first person that I knew that introduced me to a lot of MCC programs was Faisal Patel.
Oh, Faisal.
Faisal went to Niles West, but me and him were really close growing up. So he was like one of those close friends that I had. So
Close
he's the one
childhood friend, yeah.
yeah, so he's the one who introduced me to a lot of people at MEC, and then the rest was history from there. Yeah.
Yeah, for me it was me, Isam, and this big kid named Mo, and everyone at MEC knew Isam because he Brock trained him actually. So that was I found that out like my first year. And for us, it was like, oh, there's this kid. Like, if the next year when for us got in, he was saying, oh, we have this kid named Esom, and he's wearing MEC merch and all of that. I'm like, yeah.
Was he on the
And
basketball team?
yeah, he was on the basketball
So I think
team.
that's probably the same kid I'm talking about, like the other Muslim kid I was in school. Yeah, he was like really good at basketball,
Yeah,
right?
he was really good.
Yeah, he
And
was like
then
probably one of the best on the team.
he was one of the best on the team. And the
I think
funniest
he's talking
thing
about the same
was,
kid. I
so
didn't know his name. Yeah.
Yeah, no. So whenever they wrote articles about the game, they always messed up Esom's like his what do you say his grade. They would always say like, "Oh, he's a junior when he was a sophomore and all that," because he was always playing for varsity and all of that since the beginning. So like
Got
I
it,
was
got
like,
it.
yeah, he was a big deal at that time. And
Mashallah, man, he's still there. Does he still play?
yeah, he does actually. I haven't kept in
Is he
touch
playing
with
like
him as
college
much as I
ball or
would
something,
like.
or is he just recreational?
I have no idea, but I'm betting like he's not playing basketball because like he's really good at that. Like
Yeah.
okay, like speaking right, like he has a like if he keeps going on this path, like one day inshallah he might end up in the NBA on one of the teams. Like you might never
Inshallah,
know.
man. We need some Muslim representation
Yeah, we
in that
do.
league. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Tell so we met in you so we met in Sierra class.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know your brothers want to MEC because they're on the basketball team, and I'm usually there for like basketball practice and helping Brock or Kadir, like whenever they're teaching, whenever they're doing the basketball practice, I'm always there helping when and during the home games. So yeah, I knew of your brother and all of that. And
Yeah.
yeah, I remember. Do you remember that time when I posted on my Instagram or yeah, on my Instagram that article that on the school newspaper I had? And then you texted me right after I posted it.
Yeah, was that like, oh my God, it's so cool?
Yeah, I'm talking about the MSA and all of that. Yeah.
I never thought it would be possible. Like, I know Niles West had MSA, Maine East, but I'm like, there's like so many, like so little amount of Muslims in
Yeah.
school that like it's MSA would be two people. So I'm surprised you're able. Is the MSA still going? Did anyone like keep it going, or did it just die out with you?
So I was literally going through like a couple of months back. I was going through the Maine South club website, and yeah, they still have MSA. Someone took over.
No way, Mashallah, that's dope. That means you started something transcendent.
Yeah. No. So when we went to Maine South, like, who like, did you ever have like who did you have as your English teacher? Like, just name a few. Can you remember off top of your
Remember,
head?
dude. I don't remember. Give me some options, and I'll tell you if I had them or not.
Belsario.
No, I had friends who had Belisario. I didn't have Belisario.
Pirelli. He was
No.
a head English department teacher.
He was a head English department teacher. I went, he's the one that recommended me to take AP, but I never actually ended up having him as a teacher.
Dude, no. So it was my senior year. He taught comic books. Oh my God, it was the easiest A you can have.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, and then when I went the last time, it was last year during winter break. When I told you they're doing this like get together of the old classes, and you get to talk in front of the students and all in the auditorium. Yeah, I reached out to you for that. So yeah, I met him, and a lot of them were saying like, "Oh, he got a position as a what was it? Well, superintendent assistant, something like that." And I'm
Hey, that's
like,
awesome, man.
"Dang,
Good for him.
yeah." How about Dr. Jones?
Jones, no. For some reason, the only people I remember, because people that I remember are the people that actually like impacted my life that I loved a lot, right? As teachers. Miss Kosh for history.
Oh yes, I
I
know.
love Miss Kosh.
Yeah, who doesn't that? She's amazing.
I heard she retired. And then
Yeah.
I loved when I played football freshman year, I had Tumulty as my coach.
Oh my God,
I kind
who
of ever since
Tumblety
then
is
I kind of loved
amazing. Yeah.
ever since then I've kind of loved Tumulty. It was Tumulty and Harrier.
Oh yeah, I had
That was a
Harrier as
football
my gym
combo.
teacher freshman year.
And then I forgot his name. Who teaches economics? Or international relations.
It's either Hanson
Mr.
or
Hanson. I love Mr. Hanson too. The wrestling coach, right? Oh my God.
no. Here's the thing with Mr. Hanson. He's the one that actually helped me start the MSA.
No way, really.
Yeah,
That's
so when
awesome.
I went to him with the idea, he's like, so many people have tried the MSA, okay, like in the past. So many people have tried, like, there's three MSA three times and they all failed because it always got too political. And I'm like, oh my God. And
Too
for
political.
me,
Wow.
yeah, because it was always political and there were usually like straight up arguments, or people just came to debate, or people just didn't show up because, like, oh, they said they would come, but then, oh, this came up, and all of that. So it wouldn't work with their schedules and all of that. So yeah, it
That's
was.
interesting.
It was, I'm like, it was like, I was like shocked. I'm like, first of all, why in the world would you make it political? That's the worst thing to do right now.
Yeah, I mean that's what happens with any organization.
Yeah, like,
PSA,
okay, you know
MSA,
your
whatever.
limits, and then just know your limits and boundaries before you do it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you gotta think about it. When you have like an organization like that, like I was part of MSA at DePaul or UMMA, they call it there. There was a lot of you gotta keep in mind that there's so many people from different walks of life coming together when you go to college, right? So everyone has a different perspective. So it's about not even just being objective about it, but just being able to understand everyone's perspective and coming to a conclusion as.
Coming to a single conclusion,
Yeah, exactly. So people might deem it as political, but it's just different perspectives. No one means harm, no one means foul.
it just to the point where it just doesn't become like too much, but you can all get there like
Healthy discussion.
in a reasonable manner
Yeah.
instead of just like straight up arguing and all of that. Like,
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, like whenever you just get an opportunity, you know there's gonna be like there's risk and all that. Like I told you before we recorded, like I was scared to do this, but you gotta take that. You don't know
Until
what.
you try.
Yeah, until you try,
There
you
you
don't know how
go.
far it can go.
Exactly. That's with anything in life. Never ever limit yourself. Because just because like the biggest thing is you self-doubt, but you won't know until you try. It's better if you try and fail than to never try at all. Just so you know
That's
and you can
very
get it out of
true.
your system. Yeah.
So tell us more about Wyoming Unfiltered, which is the podcast that you are from, and literally you guys shot so many episodes, and each one of them keeps getting better and better. And how are your approach with this? How who like I know it was you, Tamur, Maz, and like a lot of other people. Like who came up with the idea? Was it Sarantí?
Yeah, so the way it started was actually really spontaneous, and alhamdulillah, it's been going really well. And I honestly didn't think that it would still be going the way it's going. So alhamdulillah for that, first of all. The way it started, so it started literally because of quarantine. It was one of those quarantine. When COVID first hit, we were all inside, and Saranti reached out to me, and she's like, "What are ways that we could still engage the youth without being in person and being together?" So originally, this was supposed to be like a Zoom podcast, right? And I'm like, "Hey, like we can make a podcast," and me and Saranti are like, "Yeah, let's do it." But like Saranti, like so people watching this probably don't know who Saranti is, some of them. Saranti is like the lead youth director person for MCC. And I think like literally MCC is nationally renowned as having a really amazing youth program. And I honestly give a lot, like majority
Yeah,
of credit
shout out
to
to
her.
Sarantí
She's
for
done
all
so
of this.
yeah, shout
Like,
out Saranti. She's
yeah,
done
chef.
so much with Sierra classes,
And
with
with giving us
events.
opportunities like this,
Yeah.
like making us like try
Yeah.
new stuff, like don't you're Muslim and then you just try
Yeah.
different things to reach out to people and
Because,
like
yeah.
this gives us like a chance to know like what can we be good at without like she gives us the confidence to like do better in the world and reach
Yeah.
out to people and make a good understanding.
Yeah, and she really bridges that divide too between elders in the Muslim community and the youth. And like the youth aren't just kids, and we have a lot to bring to the table, and we can help impact each other, and we have the responsibility and opportunity. So alhamdulillah to
Yeah,
her for that.
we've done a lot of stuff. Like I remember, do you remember like 2 years ago when we did that barbecue and then we were planning a
Yeah.
lot of fundraiser events?
Yeah. Before COVID, YOM was popping off. Yeah.
We were working like literally like
Yeah,
it was
but
amazing.
yeah, so Unfiltered came through that. We like thought of the idea, and then the pretty much how it like the team was formed and everything was from Big Brothers and Big Sisters, because we already had Big Brothers, Big Sisters. So group made, and
After this, tell us more about that.
yeah, so I'll say it now. So Big Brothers, Big Sisters was it's a program where us as college age boys or college age girls, and this was separate, would mentor kids that are transitioning from middle school to high school, or
Yeah,
kids that
to
are
give
in
them
middle
that
school.
perspective of like
Exactly.
how what to expect in your
In like
coming
public
years.
school, private school, wherever they're going. So kind of be a big brother to them, because a lot of these kids didn't have father figures in their lives, mother figures in their lives, or older brothers. I never had an older brother. I wish I did,
Yeah,
but I
same here.
don't.
I like
Yeah.
you we're the oldest in our family.
Exactly. So we saw that gap and we tried to fill it. And we used to meet with these kids once a week. But because of COVID, when everything happened, we didn't have that anymore. So we
Yeah.
wanted to be, so the podcast was a way to connect with them through a different medium. Bring the Big Sisters Big Brothers together, and it's supposed to target kids growing up in the community and talk about the struggles that are real, struggles that kids face nowadays without being taboo, or I mean, being taboo and without being like, oh, you can't talk about this, can't talk about, because there's real issues going on.
Yeah, there's
There's
real
real things.
issues, but you have to, like I said before, like we know, like, okay, the risks that we take and the limitations, like how far we can go with stuff, where it's not like too much or like not offensive to anyone.
Yeah, but I feel like when you get to that point, you're always gonna offend someone. You
Yeah,
talk
you're
about
always
stuff
gonna
that
offend
shouldn't,
someone.
yeah,
There's like,
exactly.
yeah.
Someone's always gonna be offended. But we had to, we were thinking about it when we were in middle school, when we were in high school, what are the issues that we were facing? And we're like, okay, let's talk about this. 'Cause we can reflect on it. We went through it.
Yeah, we went through
We
it
all went
and
through it, right? So we can be, so
yeah.
then we can look back and we could talk about it. And there's kids going through completely different things now. And inshallah, down the road, when the team here gets a little bit older and we move on, the next generation of youth will step up and they'll lead a podcast for what they went through, because it'll be different than us. And then
Yeah.
they'll
Like
mentor
experience
their
after
perspective.
experience, like you
Exactly.
it's like almost a history book, but from different people's perspectives.
Exactly. So that's kind of what we're trying to tackle with the Unfiltered in the podcast. And now we have the unfiltered.yom or yom.unfiltered account on Instagram. We post all our podcasts there, and it's usually every week. So now we have an agenda going, and we meet once a week and we film podcasts and stuff. So that's been fun. That's been a fun side thing to do.
Yeah, and it's just like today I was listening to the your last episode about Kobe Bryant, because this week is gonna be the 1 year anniversary of his death, and Kobe Bryant has like impacted a lot of people in many ways, either through basketball or his character, like multiple things. And it's just for basketball players, it's just hard to wrap, because like everyone said, he's like Superman, and we thought he wouldn't leave. And you guys were saying, like, in his final game, he went out with a bang. Like he gave it his all as for his last game.
Yeah, and that should be a lesson to anything you do in
Yeah,
life.
like he left like a good legacy for everyone.
He didn't waste a day.
Yeah, he
Every day
didn't.
that
Yeah, he hustled.
every day he treated like it was his last, and eventually ended up being his last. In the same way for us, like we should treat every day like it's, because we don't know. Look how he tragically passed away. That could happen to any of us. So why not live and do the best you can every day to be the better person, to do the most good deeds, to, wake up early, grind late, do all that stuff. And I think all of us struggle and all of us lack some kind of passion at times and some kind of motivation.
If we
But
don't try
mashallah,
new
that guy
stuff,
had it down.
yeah. If we don't try new stuff, you won't know what you're capable of.
Yeah, definitely put all, do not put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah. And no, like when I was at MEC, there was always a motto up at the gym. Hard
LeBron
work.
James poster, right?
No, it was this hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Hard enough.
Yeah.
That's facts.
Yeah, that's
That's
facts. Like
facts.
literally, talent isn't gonna take you everywhere. You have to work hard for what you want.
Yeah, you could be born really good at something, but if you're not putting in the work, the person that wasn't born with it's going to pass you up because they're working their butt off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like that. That's all life is. So.
Life gives us many obstacles. But how we overcome them is one thing, but what we learn from them, that's much more.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think there's so much talk about I think so I'm coming from a podcast perspective and working with the youth and that stuff. A lot of parents or older siblings have tried to shield their kids from the world.
Yeah.
And they try to be like, okay, this all happens, I don't want you to be part of that. Mashallah, good. You don't want them to be a part of that.
Yeah,
But
but then the other side,
you can't keep them in shackles their entire life. And when they
because
finally
they
open, they're gonna experience that.
and
So
they
it's
and
a
they're not gonna know what to do, because they're gonna be all confused because they've never experienced this side of the world before. All the world.
I'm a big believer in building confidence in kids, building confidence in people, being self-confident, and then taking off the shackles and letting them live life in the sense that they learn from their mistakes and they learn by their failures, because that's the only way you could persevere. I honestly think you could never ever, without failing or without doing something and learning from it, you'll never be able to truly learn, if that makes sense, without failing and without going through that experience.
I can't remember who, but someone I heard this once. Someone said failure is a good teacher because every time without failure, you'll never learn how to grow. And without growth, you're standing in one place.
Yeah, growth is the act of moving. It's the act of
Yeah.
progressing.
Because
Yeah,
it can
for sure.
be growth by physical, mentality, emotionally, anything. You just need a strive to grow and learn, like, and just know, just keep growing because growth is a wonderful thing once you treat failure as a friend, because failure is always going to occur in one way or another. It's either going to be in your youth, your teenage years, your adult life, and your old life. Failure is
Live your
always going
whole
to
life.
be there.
Never strive for failure. Always strive for success and happiness and passion and good. But failure is going to happen. And it's about when it does happen, even though you're not trying to fail. No one should ever try to fail. But when it does happen,
What do
you
you take?
shouldn't let that break you all the way down. You know what I mean? Like, you should know in your head before you start anything that failure is always possible. Everything might look all sunshine and glimmers, but then the COVID-19 comes and ruins everything. So, like, a lot of people go through a lot of things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, right? So He puts certain struggles in our lives for us to overcome and persevere through, and for us to learn, and because it's best for us. So it's really hard sometimes to think about that stuff, but or to like think in the moment when something really bad's happening that, oh my God, how could Allah want this for me? But you don't get the big picture. He does, right? So.
Yeah, because there's meanings come in different ways, like lessons. We learn the same lesson, but in every different way.
Yeah,
We
for
can learn
sure.
the same lesson, but it's in different ways. It's not in the same way twice.
What do you mean by different ways?
Say if you don't know something, like for us, basketball wasn't an easy skill to acquire for us. We had to learn the game rules and everything along with it. Say, so we can just learn how to play basketball, but then learning more and executing it, that's a whole nother thing. But you have to go back to the basics to learn everything again. Because you're always gonna be drawn back to your basics, because without the basics, you'll never advance.
The fundamentals. Yeah, no, I agree. For sure. For sure.
So what are the things? So we talked about our main side of experience, like how we both came from the same high school, but we're both from different sides of the spectrum, because we both had a different childhood. We learned different things, but yet we went to the same school and all that. And we both had the same feel of like helping the youth, help our community, that drew us to the Sira classes and all of that, which is amazing, first of all. And do you remember one of the lessons that we learned from the Sira class, the very first class that Omar taught us? Not Omar Latif, Omar Hasib.
I don't remember off the top of my head. Remind me.
So this was one about like true loyalty to friends. So he said, so a boy went to his three friends' house. He first murdered a sheep and then put its stuff on in the bag. It's the meat on in the bag, and then covered it up with the on the shirt, the blood. And he said, he went to, I can't remember fully, but he went
The
to each
murder
friend's
story.
house.
Like, would you keep me in your house to hide me? That,
Would
right?
you hide me like my father to kill someone?
Yeah.
And yeah, here's the bag. Can you hide it? Can you lie if someone comes looking? First one said, "Get out. I'm no longer your friend." Second one said, "Yes, I'll take you in, but if someone comes to ask, I have to tell the truth." And then the third friend, he slapped him and said, "No, you didn't do this. I did it." So he took the third friend took the blame. That shows the loyalty of friends. And in the world today, there's a lot of fake friends that we think are loyal friends.
Yeah, that is a real thing, especially when you're going through school and
Yeah,
you have a lot of
especially
temporary
in high
friends.
school, especially in
You have a
high
lot of temporary
school.
friends that you only see at school and you never see them outside of school, and there's a reason for that. Yeah.
No, so since TikTok is a big thing, like I scrolled through it and I found this one person. His is creating world, and he had a quote of the day, and the very first one I heard was, "What is a best friend? A best friend is that knows when you're hurting inside, yet you put a smile on your face. That makes you happy. So a friend makes you happy, but our best friend make you smile." And enjoy you and be that in that moment of happiness. That's which impacted me a lot because that shows like how to separate your friend from your best friend. Like how do they make you feel at all?
Yeah, I think you could have a lot of friends, and you could be known as being very, very social and known for having so many friends, but you could also be with all those friends. You could all be out, you could all be hanging out, and you could
But it's
be
that
sad.
feeling that you get
And
from
you could
them.
be sad, and you could be not content. You could be not feel good or not feel happy. But when you're around, it could be a group of one or two people, and those people are just, you love those people so much that you're extremely happy. So just the number never, it's always quality, right? You always want the quality over the quantity. I highly encourage finding a small group and a small circle of friends to call your own, rather than caring about. And I feel like it's a big thing, dude, in high school and in college, being impression I want everyone to know me as someone who has so many friends with everyone, like just for like your status per se.
Yeah, like high
That's
school
like a big
status
thing,
wise,
right?
like, oh, I want to be known as the popular kid in my
Popular
class.
kid, there you go. Yeah, there you go. But dude, 5 years later, that stuff doesn't matter,
That,
bro.
yeah, it
It just
doesn't
doesn't
matter.
matter.
Like,
You're not gonna
after you
talk to half the
graduate, yeah,
kids that you
nobody's
talked to
gonna
in high
know
school.
you anymore.
Yeah. I was friends with so many people in high school. I only end up staying in touch with like what, four or five people. It is what it is. That's just how it is. Yeah.
Yeah, no, the other thing about high school is peer pressuring and all of that, which
Yeah.
is very, like, you wouldn't expect your friends to do it, but then when they end up doing it, you're in disbelief, which is something hard for, like, for people like us that came from, like a Muslim community-wise, Muslim perspective and all of that, because we're always told the friends you keep is how you're gonna act. You be around bad friends, they're gonna make you bad. If you're surround yourself with good friends, then you're gonna be good. You're gonna be lead to the straight path and still led astray.
Yeah, you should always, it's always, if you're friends with nine people that are successful, you'll be the 10th. If you're friends with nine people that smoke, you'll be the 10th. It's always like that. That's always how it works, right? So, I think I realized that a lot more after undergrad, and that's been my blessing during COVID, alhamdulillah, is that you really get to sit back and just take it in and be like, okay, who am I friends with and why am I friends with them?
Yeah, like
What do
what
I
was
see
the
that
reason?
relationship
What was the
bringing to
first
me in the
reason
next
why
10
you became
years?
friends with them?
Yeah, well, what was the reason? And then what is the reason going to be 5 years from now? You
Like,
know?
are they still gonna be here or are they gonna leave you?
Well, not even that. Not that, I mean, leaving,
Like,
coming, that doesn't matter. But
yeah,
what kind of
leaving and
impact do they have
coming
on your life?
is,
What kind of person do they make you? That's what matters.
yeah, and are they look out for like, are they friends with you for their own gains or to help you become someone better?
Yeah, we
That's
had
what
an
you have
episode
to,
on toxic friendships. Go check it out.
that's a mentality that you have to have. Like, you can't because so many people are just gonna be gullible and just like dive into the world of popularity, and then years after that, who was I? They're gonna keep asking like, who was I? Like, did I lose my way by making friends by being friends with these people?
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. And the thing is, people are always changing.
Yeah, people
Just
are always
because
changing.
you're friends with someone in early on in college, because they're such a great person and doing a lot for you and you do a lot for them and they bring such a great impact in your life, doesn't mean they're going to be the same person or you're going to be the same person when you
Yeah.
graduate. Your life changes. You meet different people, different things happen, and life is a growth. You're never going to be the same in one point of life or one or a different point in life. Like every year, every 2 years, every 3 years, something's going to be different.
Even
You're always growing. You're always changing.
month-wise.
Yeah, you're always changing. You're always
Yeah,
growing.
you're
Every
always
experience
growing every
defines you and
day.
makes you better. Yeah. So there's been times where I've been friends with people beginning of college, and I'm not friends with them now when I graduated because, or we're not as close now because of the fact that they have different outlooks on life. In college, they didn't really like, it was college. We see each other every day. It is what it is, right? Like it's
Yeah, that's
cool.
like
It's fun. We're
still
hanging
like,
out,
yeah.
but when you graduate and they're still just hanging out and having fun, and I'm trying to go find a job and work and thinking about life and getting married and all these things, and they're not really thinking about that right now. That's just one example, right? Like you got to align yourself with people that are on the same mindset of you, and it's not wrong of them for them to think like that because they're doing their own thing,
Yeah.
but it's different. It
They're doing
changes.
what seems right to them.
Exactly, it changes. There's no right and wrong. There's just what fits you better.
Yeah.
What fits your outlook on life? Where do you want to be 10 years from now? And who are the people that you should be friends with that'll get you there? I'm a big believer in writing down goals and writing down specific goals, like by this date, by this month, I want this,
Do
right?
you have
And
a
then how am I going to get there?
vision board? Like you
I have an
sound
Excel doc, which I use as like a vision board.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm like you
I
sound
think
like
it's
one of
really
the people.
important, man.
Yeah,
I think
if you
it's
have a
really
vision
important.
board, then and if you look at it, you know what you're doing and what you're trying to strive for.
And it's good motivation every
Yeah,
day when
it's
you don't
good.
feel like doing work, when you don't feel like getting up, when you don't feel like going to the gym, when you don't feel like whatever. You look at your board or you look at your Excel, whatever, your notepad,
Yeah.
your note, whatever it is, right? Your phone. Look at it and you're like, okay, this is like purpose. Like I want this. Like one of mine is impacting the community and leaving it a better place
Hence,
than when I
the
came in, right?
podcast and our Youth
Exactly. So that my
FNCC.
motivation for doing the podcast, my motivation for being part of Big Brothers, my motivation for being involved in the masjid is that like I see so much opportunity. Look at the Jewish centers, look at the Christian centers, and look how big of a community they've formed and how much power that they have in local government, right? For example, like why does the Muslim community lack that? Why are we always begging for things? Why are we always begging to have land? Why are we begging for things to work out? Like for inclusion, like we need to get out of that mindset, and we need to make choices and make changes and
Yeah.
put our foot forward, you know? So that's like one aspect of something I strive for. Then you have your professional life goals, then you have your personal life goals. So there's all these different things and spiritual life, right? Like where are you with your deen? Where do you want to be 10 years from now? Are you content? You should never be content. Even the Prophet wasn't content, right? So it
Yeah,
makes you think about all these things.
even when he was granted Jannah, he still prayed that he
On
was
his
not exempt.
last days, bro, he was making dhikr. He was
Yeah.
on his knees crying. Like if that,
Yeah,
bro.
and one of the things that always impacted me, he's going to Jannah no matter what, but yet he prayed for us. Yeah, Allah, forgive my ummah. And he's the only person that's gonna be saying that on the Day of Judgment. Well,
Agreed.
everyone worries about themselves. He thinks about everyone else.
Yeah, no, yep, that's exactly what it is.
And
I think, yeah.
the one of the things, so there was a book called "What Top 100 Most Influential People Throughout History" by Michael Hart. Rasulullah was first because he did so many things when everyone was against him. Did it stop him? No. He strived. He prayed. He put his trust in Allah. He put his trust where it needs to be, and it succeeded.
Yeah, there's so much to learn, dude. So much to learn from his life. I definitely recommend. I need to get one too. There's some amazing books on like lessons of his life, and I want to pick that up and I want to start reading those because even just reading one chapter of that a day, it could probably give you a completely different outlook and vision on your day and purpose and everything. So it all ties back to spirituality, but then there's all these different things too. So
And it's just with us growing, but like we've been to public school, we can go in a, we grew up in a Muslim community, yet we went to a white school, and it just we stick to our deen because we knew what we wanted in life. We wanted school because it's for education, but spiritually we want to get close to Allah even while we're growing and not let anything happen to us.
Yeah, what's it called? I always joke with my friends about this because a lot of my friends went to like Niles West, went to Niles North, and those schools had a lot more Muslim people in those schools because they're right by MEC or right by the masjid in that community, right? So like a lot of they had people and friends that were Muslim, whereas we had maybe one or two, right? So
We had a rare. We didn't even have like a handful. We had like two or three at best.
in the sad thing is that even though they had so many Muslims in your school, some of those Muslims didn't end up following the same path that we chose or strive to follow, because once one Muslim goes down that path, and as we talked about, we're really impressionable in high school, right? Like anything that seems cool, and especially if a Muslim's doing it, that's like, oh, if he's doing it, I could do it,
Like
right?
we have an
So
impression, if one person doing it, then we can do it.
the
But
one
it's
thing that
not the
stopped me from
thing.
doing a lot of things in high school at Main South was that I saw all these non-Muslims doing all these things, and I'm like, I'm Muslim, I don't do that. The thing at Niles West, I'm taking Niles West for example, is that they saw a Muslim doing it, and a lot of kids at that age, if I was there, I would have been like, yo, if they're doing it, I could do it too. But alhamdulillah, I was blessed with Main South where I didn't have that mindset. I didn't see that in front of me. All the Muslims that I knew in my life at that time weren't like that. So I thought like, oh my God, like that couldn't be me. So like alhamdulillah for that. That's all. But I think you go through your own struggles and circumstances. And I feel like me and you both would be different people if we went to like a Niles West or went to like an MEC. We'd be completely different people than who we are now. Yeah, I think public school really shaped us into who we are.
From MEC, I always kept in touch with the teachers, and the funniest thing ever. So whenever I did my community service hours for high school, I always went to MEC. I was contacting Brock or Coach Adam. I'm like, can I do community service here? They said, come on in. And one of the teachers, Mr. Mursad, oh my God, shout out to you if you're watching this. He literally gave me the opportunity to teach his class every time I went to MEC. Every year, whenever I went for community service or whatever on my free days, Fahad, come teach this grade. Fahad, come talk to them. Like, he gave me the opportunity to open myself and talk to people. And he gave me, and then he told me, why don't you do Sunday school? And now I'm doing Sunday school.
You're Sunday
Like,
school teacher.
I'm a Sunday school teacher. I've been teaching
Mashallah,
for
that's
two
so sick,
years.
man. Mashallah, that's awesome. That's awesome. What have you learned from that? Like working with kids and stuff. Has it gotten a lot easier now over time?
First, it was brutal.
Yeah, I
My
bet.
first week, it was brutal because I was a TA. The kids were brutal. Like, okay, I try to give them out worksheets. Okay, guys, we need to do this. It's really easy. And it was just like memorize a surah. They wouldn't. Like, it literally took forever. And I'm like, guys, come on. And they push your limit. That's the thing about kids. Like, even Brock said in his podcast, kids will try you, they will push your buttons. They're hoping you crack.
But now with that experience, now over time, now in the future, whenever you work with kids, you have that. You already went through it. Like you know what to
And
expect.
plus, for my first job, I was a coach at Main East for I-9 Sports. And it was dealing with kids while being coach and like just being referee and watching the games and helping the kids learn. So I already had that, and then I started teaching Sunday school. Most of my jobs, they were required around kids, like
That's cool, man.
because we have that mentality of like, we're in it for the long run. We're thinking about the future. We're not thinking about ourselves right now. Like, We can deal with the present right now, but we're worried about what's going to happen in the future if we don't do this. Which
That's
is,
interesting. That's
yeah,
interesting.
it's really interesting.
I feel like a lot of people think like that. And I think it's logical, it makes sense. I think like that too. But just reflecting, right? Like, why do we think so much about what's going to happen a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, when we don't know if that's even guaranteed for us? Why are we not living in the present? So then there's always that battle, like, how far ahead should we plan? And then we actually did an episode on filter on life timelines and on making a vision board and doing all that. And like how almost every time in life, nothing's ever going to go according to plan. And that's okay.
There's always going to be setbacks and failures.
Setbacks and failures, and sometimes it might speed up stuff too. But who knows, like, but you never know, but that's okay. It's all right. And sometimes you can't get too obsessed about the future. You need to have a good balance between the future and living in the moment, living in the present, and make sure you're making the most out of the time you have now. And you're not just doing it for the future, you're just doing it for yourself now, for your spirituality now, for your family now, for your friends now, making sure that you actually still live a little bit, And I think the Prophet ﷺ never discouraged anyone from doing that. So I think that's important too.
One of the things that Omar Latif said while he was teaching Sharia class, that Islam has a wonderful medium to it, a medium of everything. Like, it's not too much, it's not too little, it's just right. It's in the medium of everything.
Yeah, subhanAllah, man. Where we are so blessed to be in a position that we are.
So let's head to the this is going to be the Q&A part. So
All
like I
right.
said, we're going to keep recording, but this part, it's not going to be video. I'm going to put it on audio.
Okay.
So do you have questions that you want me to answer, like questions like that you're curious about knowing about me or something?
Sure. Let's see. I was thinking of a few while I was driving home. What motivated you to start a podcast?
So for me, growing up, I was always surrounded by people that would impact other people. Like, I was surrounded by teachers that would help students and give them motivation. And for me, Coach Ali was, he's still, I take him as my friend, my big brother, and my mentor, because whenever I did anything, first person on board to support me. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? So go ahead, do this. But he always supported me to try new things to like make impact in the world. And like with YouTube, like I so the first person I watched was FoosyTube, and he wanted to become a motivational speaker, and he was getting good at it. And I'm like, this is really good. Like, I want to become like a motivational speaker to impact someone and brighten up their future and something like that. So I'm like, people listen to podcasts, go on YouTube, watch YouTubers, and why can't I do that? Like, I want to impact someone's life and change it for the better one day. Inshallah, I change someone's life for the
Inshallah.
better.
Even if it's one person, it makes it all count.
Even if it's one person, it makes a huge distance a long way.
Yeah. Okay, question
Because,
number two. Ready? Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
10 years from now, okay, inshallah, I have a wonderful family.
Inshallah.
Inshallah, I still have my parents, and like I still keep in touch with everyone and help. Like after quarantine, I hope like maybe I could be the YOM director, help them with that.
You could be working with the next generation of youth. That'd be really awesome, man. That's an awesome goal to strive for. Cool.
Any more?
Yeah. What was the biggest struggle that you faced in high school?
I think my biggest struggle freshman year, it was just people pushing you to be with someone, like, oh, like you have to be with this
Who are you going to
person.
homecoming with? Who are you going to
Yeah, who
prom
are you
with?
going to homecoming with? Like they're always playing matchmaker. And they always said this one girl's name. I won't say who, but they always told me to be with her. And I'm like, no, I wouldn't. Like, I don't see them that way and all of that. And one of my best friends was actually dating them.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and we sat next to each other and we all had math class. And it was the weirdest thing ever. Like, literally, like, no,
I
I
bet,
wouldn't.
yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not me. Like, I'm fine being single because I want to work on myself.
Yeah, that's smart.
And then sophomore year, it was just recovering from my surgery because, as you know, I went through three open heart surgeries before I turned 18, which was like, it was a scary thing
Yeah, sure, man.
because I was gone for an entire semester. I had to make all of that semester up and do the next semester.
Yeah. I mean, when we sit here and we talk about taking every moment for granted or not taking every moment for granted and making the most of every day, like you saw like your life flash before your eyes before the age of 18. How has that shaped you? What is that? Does that give you a
So
different perspective on life, like before and after going through that
yeah,
experience?
it did. It really did. Like, so for me, you know this. I'm a really caring guy. I love to like be with friends and I care about my friends a lot. And the one thing that I always did, I don't know why, but when I graduated, my friends told me I was the scariest guy in their friends group. I'm like, why? They're like, dude, you care about all of us. And if something were to happen to us, you would make sure nobody were to hurt us again. Like I was that type. I was like the overprotective friend for everyone. Because
I
I'm
see.
like, I don't want to see my friends hurt. I don't want to see them sad. I don't want to see them upset. Like I always want to see everyone with a smile. Like have a positive outlook on life.
That's an amazing quality, man, mashallah. That's about all I got for questions, though. But those are some crazy good
Yeah,
answers.
and even like before when we were talking about mentality, like today when I was thinking about this meeting right now, I'm like, I hope I do good, inshallah I do good. And then I remember, don't have a what if, have a when this happens, when, not a if this happens, have a when. Like that's the biggest thing. Like you always say, what if? What if? No, do a when mentality. When this happens, which is a really strong thing. I have like five questions for you. So
All right.
one thing you took from Main South, like one big thing you took away from Main South. It could be
One
good or
big
bad,
thing.
like what how did it shape you?
You know my honest answer about the one thing I take away from Main South?
Oh yeah, go ahead. I mean, if you're comfortable with saying it, then yeah.
Yeah, no, the biggest thing I probably took away from Main South is that there are good and bad white people. They're not
There
all they
is.
like they don't all think the same. They don't all act the same. There's people that suck, as there are with Desis and as there are with Muslims, right? But I was younger, so I was impressioned in the way that like, oh my God, I need to watch out.
Everyone is
Like,
same.
yeah. So I think like I found some really good people there, man. So I think the thing that sucks is I feel like a lot of people in Desi communities, and they only interact with Desis. They whenever they see white
They jump to
people, they
conclusions.
jump to conclusions and they think that they'll never get me. But they don't know what I'm going through, you know? But there's some really awesome people, man. And I made friends with some really cool people and really sweethearts, dude. Like amazing hearted guys. On the spectrum, there are some really trashy people too. But there, but th in that trash, you'll find some beautiful hearts too. So I think that's probably the biggest takeaway that I had from Main South.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway is yeah, same thing like you said, like not everyone is the same. Like people are gonna surprise you in multiple
Yeah.
different ways. Like because growing up in like a Desi community, You're always gonna jump to conclusions. Like, oh, stay away from this person, stay away from that person. They're gonna make you do this, they're gonna make you do that. No, that is a false. That is a straight up lie to your face because not everyone is gonna be the same. Like, even with MSA, I thought my mom said, don't do it, don't start it, don't. Like, she always said me no because, oh, people are gonna hate you, this is gonna happen, and all of that. I'm like, I'm not gonna know what's gonna happen unless I try
Until you
it.
do it.
And
For sure.
it changed for the better actually, because when it was Ramadan time, I had a Ramadan party like the week before Ramadan, and 20 people showed up. 20 people showed up, which was huge.
That's crazy. That's an amazing number of people.
Yeah. And all of them were white.
Yeah, phenomenal,
Yeah. Right. One piece, my second question, one piece of advice you would give to our listeners.
what is our listening demographic? What do you
Huh.
say?
So, like, we focus on like talking about the you, the community, and like how our different perspective shaped us to be the people who we are, and not to, and to have a positive outlook in life, no matter what challenges we face.
Your circumstances don't define you. Just because you don't have really expensive equipment doesn't mean you can't make a podcast. Just because you don't know that many people doesn't mean you can't volunteer in a community and make an impact. Just because you don't have a lot of friends doesn't mean that you could be a really friendly person. Like, and you can make a lot of friends on the road. And so just because you don't make a lot of money doesn't mean that you can't make a lot of money later. So I think so the thing that a lot of people fall into is that, alhamdulillah, I was blessed with amazing circumstances. And what I tried to do was make the most out of that. But there's a lot of my friends who aren't blessed with those same circumstances, but they made the most out of that and they made even more out of it. They didn't let that stuff hold them back. They didn't let that be like, hey, because this is happening in my life, I can't be this person. I
Don't let
can't
it
do
define
this.
you.
Yeah, I can't do this because of how my life is, because of my circumstances. And no, I've seen that they've been able to persevere. They've been able to, despite everything going on, they've been able to be like, you know what? No, I'm still going to be that person. I'm going to be that person for that little kid that looks up to me. I'm going to be that person for my little brother. I'm going to be that person for my parents. So there's so many different things. I'd say please don't let your circumstances define you. Don't ever feel like you're not good enough to do anything. What me and Fahad are doing right now, talking, anyone could do this. Anyone could do what we've done, what we've contributed to the community, what we're going to, what we plan to. Like, we're not even close to being done.
Done.
Yeah, so anyone could fill those shoes. Anyone could do that. And if you guys always want to volunteer, reach out or make an impact, and you care about making an impact in the community, definitely reach out to Fahad. He definitely has some awesome connections. But yeah.
Yeah, like it's shocking how much I've learned at such a young age. Like, literally,
Yeah.
I'm 19 and I've learned so much. And most of the time, whenever people need advice, all my friends come to me. I'm like, dude, you guys are older than me. I should be coming to you, but they come to me because of the way that I act and how I turn something bad into something really, really good. I give them that
Phenomenal.
positive outlook.
Yeah,
And they
always.
always
Always
tell
positive
me,
outlook at everything.
yeah, they always tell me, you have a positive outlook even when things are going really bad.
SubhanAllah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Okay, so my question number three. When you recorded your first YOM Unfiltered episode, what did you feel? Like, were you scared? Were you nervous?
I felt for sure nervous.
Yeah.
I've never done a podcast before, and this is my first time starting it. I was really nervous because we set this whole thing up. We had all these people
It was
come.
just an idea.
We got all this equipment. We did all this, and we had that masjid backing us. And there's so many expectations. Like, And we're like, oh my God, will we live up to those expectations?
Yeah, that's always that fear. Like, will we live
Will
up to the
this be like
expectations?
one podcast, will this be like one episode and done, and that's it, everyone leaves and it's like not good? Or
Yeah.
is it gonna be something that's gonna be able to sustain?
But the
I
very
think
first,
nervousness for sure. Nervousness. Nervousness and self-doubt and like, can we do this? You know? But I think the moment we finished recording that first episode and we posted it, I think at that point we knew that this could be something special.
Yeah, and you had Omar Latif on it, the first episode. You guys were talking about in Islamic standard, like, oh, what, like, about marriage and all of that.
Culture in Islam,
Yeah, culture in Islam.
that was an amazing conversation.
Yeah, like,
Definitely, please go give it a listen if you already haven't. I know
yeah, like,
it's
I'll literally link everything about Jamal, everything about Why I'm Unfiltered in the description below, and it is amazing. You guys have to give this a listen. It was really amazing. The first episode just blew me away.
Alhamdulillah, man. Thanks, bro. I appreciate that.
Question number four: the scariest moment in your life. Like, what was one thing that you're uncertain or that made you scared?
Scariest moment of my life. Dang. Well, I think outside of physical health of my family members and me, I'd say the scariest moment of my life was becoming Ummah president.
Oh, yeah. How is that going for you?
Because I'm graduated now, so it's not
Yeah.
I'm
Like,
not the
how is
president anymore.
that?
But it was amazing, man. But the reason why that's the scariest moment of my life is I came from Maine South. There was no MSA when I was there. I was never part of an MSA. I was never part of an organization before, like that. And I joined Ummah my sophomore year of college at DePaul. I was part of Ummah on Shura for a year, and then I made the jump to president, and I went for it. And originally, I didn't even want to apply, but a lot of people encouraged me to apply. I applied. I went for it. Had the interview. When I got it, I was like, damn. I was like, I didn't think I was going to actually get it. Because it's funny because
We kept
I
a
was
low
like
bar.
I kept a low bar, but also I saw everyone that was president of Ummah before and the things that they've done to make it such an awesome community experience and
It's like
serve,
carrying out
like,
a legacy.
yeah, exactly, carry the torch for the thousands of students that attend events and like, dang, like I have to do that next year. That was like, I remember that the day I got like elected per se, like that day I was like, dang, like I'm gonna have to do all that next year. Like, can I do it? Will I be good enough? Will I be able to do it? Am I gonna be a
Yeah,
failure?
like yourself,
Yeah,
self-doubt is
self
like
doubt.
a
Yeah,
scary thing because
that anxiety,
it's
that
something
anxious.
that's holding you back always.
That was really scary, man. But then, alhamdulillah, we made it happen. We put our foot forward. We gave it our all. I was wishing that we were able to do the end of the year barbecue, but COVID hit during spring quarter, so that got cut. But other than that, alhamdulillah, it was an amazing year.
For me, it has to be my heart surgery, like,
Oh yeah,
because
definitely, man.
dude, yeah, because, like, here's the thing for me. Like, growing up, I always, like, in high school, I had depression because it was always a high standard. Like, I can't do this, I didn't get good grades, like, I didn't get this grade. And it threw me into such a depressive state. And I don't talk about my depression a lot because it's like something I'm like, it's something I'm not. Like, don't want to talk about because it's like
Personal, yeah.
it's personal, and plus, like, because whenever people look at me, they always see the nice, happy, and all that. They don't know, like what I'm feeling inside. Like, yes, I can throw on a smile and make you guys happy, but inside, like, I'm sad as hell because I have so many expectations. I have to do, like, I have my own standards, and if I can't give them, that's gonna throw you into depression. And for me, so when I did my heart surgery, I always worried about what would happen if the surgery wasn't successful. What if, like, God forbid, like, what if I passed away? What if the surgery didn't work and all of that? Like, I had that state, like, because I was worried about everyone else before I was worried about me. Because I'm like, I have so many friends. Like, what's gonna happen to them if I'm not there? Like I said, I'm overprotective. Like, Like, I'm the guy that'll like keep you safe. Like, I'll be the first one. If you call me in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m., I'll come. Like, literally, I'll pick up your call. If you need me, I'll talk to you.
I'm gonna
Like,
test that out. I'm gonna call you at 3 a.m. tomorrow.
do you even have my number? I'll text
I
you.
don't. I'll figure it out.
And then yeah, I'm like, dude, like literally, it just like for me after the surgery, I couldn't stress out because it was really bad for my health. Like they're like, you cannot stress out because that's gonna put strain on your heart. Which like I stressed out most of my life. Like literally, there were times like I literally wanted to give up. Like I literally wanted to like not even go to school. Like I don't want to do this anymore. Like I gave up so many chances. Like I came up with a lot of good things, but I never tried them out because I was scared of failure. I didn't think I was good enough.
Look where you are now.
If I tried them, I don't know what they would have become of.
We can't live with regrets, though.
Yeah, we
Everything happens
can't
for a reason.
live off regrets. Like, is this something that I'm like, man, it would have became good if I had the confidence in myself.
You do now.
Yeah, I do now. Hence why I did my YouTube. I started like I created my channel in 2013 just for fun. I created it for fun. But as soon as COVID hit, I'm like, what? I have a perfect opportunity. I can make videos, I can make funny things, and I'm at home. Like I'm not in and out of the school building. I don't have to worry that much.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this podcast.
There you go. You
Yeah.
got it, man.
And
Absolutely.
yeah. And then my last question before we end off. One goal that you have for this year, 2021. One goal that you want to accomplish.
One goal that I want to accomplish. I have so many goals for this year, man.
What's your highest? What's like your main one?
I have a lot of stuff planned for this year, alhamdulillah. And despite how high they might seem when I write it down, my biggest plan for this year by the end, by December 2021, the biggest thing I want to have accomplished is, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but making sure I have a strong circle.
Oh yeah, you thought,
I
yeah.
think it's so impactful on the person you become and the person that you want to be. Having that circle, those group of friends around
That are
you.
supportive and that are gonna help
Whether
you.
it's 15, whether it's five, whether it's one, whatever it might be, but making sure I have that defined and I have people that I want to go to, people like making sure that I'm around the right people. I feel like right now in 2020 with COVID and stuff, I wasn't. So I want to make sure that I have that.
Okay. For me, so this year is gonna be my last year. It's my last semester at Oakton, and I really want to do really well, and I want to get into a good university.
You got this, man.
Yeah, and then also succeed in my podcast and my YouTube channel. Like I
Yeah.
really want these to like take off.
Yeah, you got it, man. Inshallah. Inshallah.
Because I had a dream of like being a YouTuber or a motivational speaker growing up. Like I still have that dream. This is
Oh,
one.
all it takes is passion.
Yeah, this is one thing I really want to do. This is
Passion
like
and
my
hard work.
life goal.
If you really want to do it and you want it to be your life goal, then put in that work, put in that energy, and people should be able to see that in every product you put out. Inshallah.
Yeah. Okay. So. Anything you want to shout out or anything else you want to before we end?
Shout out MCC, man. Shout
Yeah.
out MCC.
Shout out Saranti.
Shout out Saranti and
Yeah.
MCC.
And yeah, and so if you guys want to check out Jamal and his photography, which is really good, I'm going to put down his Instagram in the description below, unfiltered and their first episode. And everything like Spotify, Apple, Apple, and other things. So yeah, you guys should really check it out. Thank you for tuning in, Jamal. Thank you for being the very first guest on here.
Jazakallah for having
Yeah.
me, man. This was a lot of fun, actually. I actually
Yeah.
enjoyed it. I enjoyed speaking with you.
Yeah, same.
I'm honored to have been a guest. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Inshallah, we can do like a few more episodes in the future as this progresses.
Definitely, inshallah. Definitely. Yeah. For sure.
Thank you. Thanks, so, bro. Yep, everyone, thank you for tuning in. Remember, have a positive attitude, have a positive outlook on life itself. Don't sell yourself short. And don't let your circumstances define you, and have good vibes. Like, I always have a hoodie that says
good vibes only. Man. Good vibes are key.
Yeah, I literally have a hoodie that says good vibes only on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Zayed, thank you again, man. Really, really great having you.
Thanks. For sure. Salam, bro.
Salam. So.